Podtacular episode 289, Then and Now Campaign Speculation, for May 10th, 2012. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm. This week with me, I have Grimbrother One from HBO.
What's up?
The ceiling.
Could be out, depending on your perspective.
Could be, yes. And we also have Slightly Live from Forward Unto Dawn.
Hello.
Hello. How is it from across the pond?
Cold, wet, and very early in the morning.
Yeah. Sorry, we do our podcasts late for us or early for you.
It's all good.
Well, that's good. Because we have a lot of good stuff to talk about in terms of Halo 4 today. We have the article that we were going to talk about, which is the Cortana's Rampancy article that Game Informer put up about 2 weeks ago. And there's a couple other campaign topics that we'll talk about. And that's why I have some campaign specialists who are way more qualified than I on the show today.
Are they going to come?
I was told you were it.
Oh, okay. This is going to be a good show then.
Oh, boy. This is already on a great start. As you guys have already noticed, G. Lewis and Daft Link are not here right now. I do not know...
They're the
where
same
Greg
person.
Is. Yes. No, they're not. And Daft, I am not sure where he is. He was on earlier. He said he was going to be on, but I am not sure where either of them are. So if they decide to show up, they will show up, and we will get them on the show as they message in.
Sounds good.
All right. So let's get this thing rolling. Cortana is considered to be a smart AI, which means that she was cloned basically from a human mind, and Cortana is cloned from a very special human mind, which is Dr. Halsey, as I'm sure a lot of you know. The rampancy that everyone's talking about, if you don't know, is where an AI basically thinks itself to death. So Cortana is getting to that point where we're starting to see some of this rampancy starting to take effect within her processing capabilities, and Frankie has definitely hinted on the fact that there's going to be some struggle between the Chief and Cortana as she's running into these issues. Now, one of the things that they've tried to clarify is because of all the interaction that she's had with Forerunner technology, she's been taking on some alterations, some changes to her cortex. I don't know, how would you describe kind of how or what she is? I know there's a technical definition, but I can't remember.
Well, in what way? Like, as far as the difference between
standard
AI or?
Yeah, basically it's a change to her code base or how she thinks.
Okay, so as far as the being exposed to Forerunner?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that's going to be, it's still... in large part more of a speculation. Like, we know that she obviously has come into contact with Forerunner technology, and we're seeing that is making a difference, but we're not exactly sure, you know, what kind of a difference and to what extent it's going to manifest itself. So it'll certainly be a big part, I would imagine, of at least Halo 4, if not the Reclaimer trilogy as a whole. And who knows, it could exacerbate the rampancy, it could stave it off, it could make the rampancy turn into something super crazy. I mean, like, there are any number of ways that it can go, but they're definitely talking about it, you know, as far as being a huge part of what's going to be going on, like I said, at least for Halo 4. So, yeah. Danny, do you have anything to add on that?
Well, obviously, it's going to be a huge part of Halo going forward just because of the role that Cortana herself plays in this story as your companion, as your guide, as your...
girlfriend.
As your, as your lovely voice inside your head, it tells you where to go. But as Grim was saying there, with the rampancy, an AI thinks itself to death. That's a good way of putting it. But one of the things is with the technology she's interfaced with, it's not about the technology itself. It's more about the amount and scale of the information that she's being exposed to. If you think about our limited computer technology right now today, and you look at what Halo does, and you can see there's our upward curve. Now imagine where the Forerunners would be on that upward curve. It's kind of disgusting where how advanced they would be and their computer systems would be. I can't imagine she would even have time to index the information, sort through and sift through that information. Even in the, 5 years or so it's been since the events of Halo 3. So it's interesting to see how she's definitely changed by her interactions with Forerunner technology, but it'd be also interesting to see how she adapts to coping with that amount of information and what she can do with that information.
Well, the other thing is when she's in the Forerunner systems, there's a good question of, does she actually have access to all these other subsystems so she could basically spawn off different processes to do some calculations for her? So I guess one thing would be, can she really push herself and extend her reach out so far that she can't control herself anymore?
Well, one thing to think, I mean, if she's truly capable of learning and adapting, it could be a scenario where she learns from Forerunner technology and Forerunner artificial intelligence ideology and learns a way, you know, maybe the Forerunner solved the rampancy issue, at least to a certain point. You know, maybe it's something where,
We know that they have.
She's able to figure out a way. Oh, like if I reroute, you know, these subroutines or whatever, like I can actually prolong the life, you know.
Well, we already know that the Forerunners have escaped the Forerunners technology and their AIs have escaped time-based rampancy.
Yeah.
If you look at the AIs that we know from the Forerunners, there's no 7-year restrictions on them at all.
Yeah, that's true.
So at least the time-based rampancy is definitely a problem that she might be able to suss out from that. But we already know.
When you talk about the existing outside of time too, I mean there already been hints dropped even through the some of the ancillary stuff with Reach, like in the Halsey Journal where she's talking about this theoretical the subspace processing.
Yes.
So
using subspace itself to do the
as the matrix, as the framework.
Yeah. As the framework, yeah, that's
isn't subspace like really unpredictable though?
Yes, but it's designing the network to exist within subspace and using that unpredictability. It's a bit like quantum computers.
Yeah,
the same sort of
that makes sense.
High in the sky thing where you can do all these different calculations.
It's like Uber cloud computing.
yeah, but it's the ability to do like all these calculations simultaneously using the unpredictability of subspace itself as the basis, as the sort of spine of the computer network to do and to think through all this stuff. It's interesting. And it's also probably one of the reasons why they took those pages and yanked them out of there, because it's going in a completely different direction from the old military sci-fi that we're used to.
Yeah. I always wonder about those yanked pages though.
Oh, but they're deliberately yanked pages, so they don't count.
All right. So what do you guys think Cortana's been doing this whole time while she's been asleep and they've been falling towards this unknown planet?
Solitaire.
I honestly think she's been just trying to find herself, finding her own identity, because up to this point, even with the first 3 Halo games, she's defined herself through her actions and through the consequences of events around her. She was one pawn in the greater game. And since the conclusion of the first trilogy, she's had nothing but time to reflect on everything.
And she's also reflecting on the information and trying to process and put things together. We know from Origins in Legend.
Yeah, and look at the story in Human Weakness from Evolutions as well, that she's struggling to identify herself and her role and her identity. You know what I mean? She's
That's a long time to figure that out. 5 years.
Well, we can already see that she's changed her appearance. She's identified herself differently now. You know what I mean? I know it's just because they're upgrading the game and they're changing the back end technology, and the artists want a bit more creative freedom. But
they're going to make that canonical somehow.
That's a good way to do it. I mean, that's a real easy way to slot in canonically for that. So it's not nearly the clever shoehorning that the grunts are.
The grunts look sick though.
They do look cool. I don't know that, but that's a mutually exclusive point.
One thing I find interesting as well is that
they're not as cute and cuddly anymore, but
I do have a weak question though. I think someone said whenever the interviews were going about that Cortana from the pictures we've seen, she's not transparent in any sort of way. And I think someone said something about the build that they were showing off didn't have transparency.
Oh, that was actually, if I'm not mistaken, that came from Claude, his write-up.
Yeah, he wasn't sure, but was he told specifically that she was meant to be transparent and they didn't have that in time for the build?
Yeah, I'm almost positive that that was part of the reason. The transparencies like sheer graphically weren't in that build.
Yeah.
But I don't see an official statement
because it's a big change if they decide to go with not the non-transparency anymore. It says more about, you know what I mean? We could speculate all kinds of reasons for that fictionally, you know what I mean? But I just want to know whether or not it's a technical thing to do with the build or is it a fictional thing. I just want some clarification on that maybe at some point. Before we see it again.
Well, she's going to be somewhat transparent because she is a hologram, so I guess, there's an issue with the transparency in the build of the game.
One thing I find funny, someone suggested on the Four on the Dawn podcast, Isaac was saying that, maybe she's now a Heartlight hologram because in Halo Legends you can see how she interacts.
She wipes the frost out. I've wondered that too, actually.
That can't be possible. You can't. Because the underlying technology the UNSC has on the Four and the Dawn is soft light. Heartlight technology would allow that to happen, but converting soft light technology into heartlight technology.
And it would only be able to happen, I could see if for some reason it happened on Requiem.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be possible there, but not on the Four on the Dawn, not with the existing UNSC technology. And there's no amount of software HUD upgrades will change her from one type of hologram to the other. You know what I mean? But then again, they are changing Master Chief's armor through software upgrades and somehow it manifests physically different. I don't know what they're going to say because... Chief looks different. He went in the cryopod with one suit and he pops out with another suit. And no amount of nanomachines can fix that. So I don't know what they're going to be doing with Cortana. They could just say nanomachines fix that too, you know what I mean? But I hope not. I hope they have some good explanation for it in there if they're going to go that direction.
I feel so bad for the grunts and their nanomachines. Totally turned them inside out.
Actually, no, there's a very good thing. Well, I like about the grunts changing because... If you think about if you read Glasslands, right, and we read the state of the Covenant Society after the war, if you know your Halo fiction, you'll remember the grunts are under constant threat of starving themselves to death by overeating and overpopulating their own planet. So that implies that there needs to be a control on there. Who says there wasn't some kind of hasty control over the grunt population whenever the Covenant fell, that they wanted to get the grunts back into control, and so they did some emergency procedure, which resulted in these physically different grunts? You know what I mean? There's all kinds of...
That's an interesting take on things.
In all honesty, I've taught science for, 17 years now, and it's completely true and more than plausible that you can't really begin to think that we could classify life the same way that we would find it on another planet. I mean, some of the extremophiles that we discover even on Earth, defy certain types of classification.
I love it when scientists go to a place and think that thing should not exist there. How does it work?
Yeah.
The pressures, and the temperatures.
It's It could be something dissimilar from the Skirmisher Jackal relationship.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, the Forerunners and the Covenant themselves, just in terms of broader technology that they use, they are miles ahead of us. That's the reason why they kicked our ass in the Human Covenant War. You know what I mean? They had the technological advantage. We were always playing catch-up. And when it comes to genetics, since they're borrowing so heavily from the Forerunner technology, who knows how far advanced they are? You know what I mean? So look at the Magola worms. We have the hunters and we have
the scarabs.
You know what I mean?
I'm really hoping that we see some new Letgalo forms. I mean, they even mentioned, you know, it's been mentioned a bunch of times that the Megletgalo, the hunter forms, are one of the rarer forms that they take. So like, it would be really neat to see some cool like. Alternative forms.
I know we're off on a wee tangent here, but just so I can slightly go in that same direction here before we continue. Last time on the Fortnite Dawn podcast, I had a wee brain fart, and I was thinking about Magono, and one thing I thought was they are specifically designed to eat Forerunner metal, okay? Because that's how they were discovered. They were discovered eating away at the Forerunner metals, and they were stopped from doing that and controlled. Why were they designed? Who designed them to eat Forerunner metals? That's a very specific design.
Yeah, that really is.
Isn't it? That's so think weird. About the way the engineers were designed by the Forerunners.
Like, what if it gets to be like, you know, ancient humanity did that?
It ties in with the Flood, the whole thing about the Flood, where they came from, and that they were designed to combat the Forerunners by the Precursors or some wild theories, whatever you want to go down. But I just thought that was interesting, that the Magol, they were designed to act against the Forerunners and their very economy, basically, their metals by their very nature. So I just thought that was interesting. They point that out in the wider context now of the fiction that we have with the Precursors and the Flood, and we know the creatures can be designed and their controlled genetics can be that good. I just thought that was an interesting thing to bring up again, since we brought up the topic of worms.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It opened up a can.
Yep.
Oh. Learn something new every day. That's it. So they were designed to eat Forerunner metal?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's weird. But yeah, that does make you think
Contact
Flood.
Contact, if I'm not mistaken, that really expounded on that first, wasn't it?
I haven't gotten there yet.
I can't remember. Was it Contact Harvest?
I think it was Contact Harvest, because that's when they were talking about in the because isn't the planet called like Te or something real short, real weird?
Yeah, and, Te.
I think they talk about it when they're over at the Key ship, when they're going, and they end up talking to Mendicant Bias, and they're kind of expounding upon what their role is of the Letgalo that are there on High Charity, that are essentially excavating the Forerunner technology on the Key ship.
Mm.
I think that's where that all takes place and where that's expanded upon, at least first.
Mm. But it's something I think
I'll
that
have to look it up now.
We'll be able to. I think they are definitely something that the 343 can use in future. There is a whole rich possible sort of river there to tap into.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And besides, they're awesome. They're like little mini worms that transform into big giant scarabs and hunters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they're eels essentially, like just really cool.
But yeah, like you said, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of other forms that they take. And if we'll see those in Halo 4.
You know, I almost liken it, and I don't know how big of fans you guys are of the Mass Effect universe, but almost in like, kind of like the Geth, how we see these different forms, and you even have like these kind of very spider-like Geth that are, you know, kind of flipping around and stuff. Like, I could imagine there being these different types of Letgalo where you have stealthier ones. And, I mean, we've even seen some big the big hunters in like the duel in Legends.
We've seen hints of different forms. We know that we haven't seen the extent of what they can be used for. But it just leaves the whole playground open basically for 343 to come in and just set up shop and do whatever they want, which is awesome.
So, more worm forms.
Yes, more worms.
We had flood forms, now we're going to have worm forms.
Stealth worms as well. Grim wants the stealth worms.
So, I would guess all the Covenant forms that we've seen so far, and not forms, but races, are probably going to be standard. I don't think we'll see a new one.
I don't think we're going to see skirmishers ever again.
Covenant race?
Yeah.
I don't think we're seeing skirmishers ever again. You guys, you really missed skirmishers? I thought they were a nice introduction, a nice little extra thing on Rage. Kind of sad.
They were pesky, more or less. At least it seemed that way.
Because we're getting grunts back confirmed. We're getting elites. They're confirmed. We've seen concept artwork with the jackals in it.
Well, yeah, those three base classes are going to be in there. Well, four, I guess. Hunters, elites, yeah. Jackals, grunts.
Actually, hunters haven't been confirmed, have they? They weren't shown in any way. So I wouldn't say that they're confirmed.
No,
have you guys seen anything with hunters?
They've been in every single game, though, so I wouldn't see...
That doesn't mean they're going to be in this game.
Right, but the likeliness of them being in the game is significantly greater.
They could be in this game in a different form, and that would be awesome. But what we know for the Covenant, we know the Banshees are back, because we've seen a Banshee in the concept artwork, and it was in the description of the campaign level, and the typical Covenant ships in the Armada.
Why wouldn't the Banshee and the Ghost be back? I mean...
They could be redesigning the Banshee for the 50th time.
So why are we talking about the Banshee? That's my Achilles heel.
I don't know. I think there's a baseline set of Halo stuff that we're going to definitely see back in the game.
I'm really excited about that. You know, it's funny. The Banshee is always, you know, that's always kind of like one of the things that I look towards as far as like with this whole grunt thing. And I've gone back and forth on it, and it used to like it really aggravate me, but at the same time, really, like, it makes more sense to have that there are different types of the Banshee. It'd be like saying, oh, a fighter jet. Well, there's a bunch of different types, you know, and I would imagine that there, you know, that you'll see both versions, like the Reach version and the Halo 3 and 2 and everything version. It'll be interesting because we know the Banshee, I mean, it's been in the concept.
I hope we never see the Reach version of the Banshee ever again. I hope the designers of that Banshee hang their heads in shame. That was a bad Banshee. Bad. Horrible Banshee.
Wait, which one?
The Reach.
Dang, I didn't know you were so hostile to it.
It's like made out of paper, and no, let's not go there.
Well, that's more of a gameplay thing, not necessarily a visually.
No, but the Banshee, the distinction of the Banshee itself, and the reason why we're even giving it a distinction is because it's the Reach Banshee, and it looks visually different. It's separate from the other different Banshee designs. And yeah. Just, no, it's just bad Covenant.
Now, I do really like I do really like the Banshee Interceptor, though.
The Space Banshee?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that's... I don't know. I didn't think Banshee should be in space. I thought that's what spirits and stuff was for, and the whole zero-G combat stuff, and then your Banshee zipping up and down around. And...
Well, yeah, but a Banshee in that type of fight is going to play a very different role than a Phantom or a Spirit.
It would, but I'm not sure. I'm not sold on space Banshees. It just seemed lazy to me that they put them in there. It's like... Well, let's just stick a little bum thing on them, and then go to Space Banshees. Whatever. You know what I mean? It seemed lazy.
Yeah, I mean, but it also would... I mean, it doesn't... Phantom isn't going to give you that dogfight type of feeling.
Yeah, it's like they needed a craft that wasn't as awesome as the rest of the ones that they do have. And this is shoehorn a Banshee in there, because, well, it's easy. It's not something that we've seen in Halo up to that point, you know? And... I just felt like fodder for the level, for gameplay's sake, rather than fiction's sake, and I don't think it has any real role in fiction, really. Just space Banshees, just, nah.
I don't know. Space Banshees?
I like them. I think they're cool. I do agree that I think that it was a product of the gameplay need, that you know, they wanted that class, essentially. They wanted that, you know... The zipping around lower end, lower shielded enemy, you know, and then you have the spirits, and then the seraphs.
But do the space banshees have thrusters on, micro thrusters anywhere? Like, how do they even steer in space? Like, the other banshees tilt their wings and their back fins in whatever directions. How do space banshees work? Apart from Covenant magic, how do they work?
Covenant magic.
It's just that they make no sense from a physics point of view.
Well,
they just have engines strapped to them and they zoom forward. And then there's just dumb missiles, but no, they're dogfighting things.
You could do thrust vectoring where you, I mean, they do have two engines. Now, granted, it wouldn't give you, especially if they're narrowly placed, it wouldn't give you that, the real tight turning radius, but you can alternate the thrust vectoring on either side.
So that means they could turn if given a few hundred miles or kilometers, they could eventually make a turn. Yeah, that'll be brilliant, the dogfight.
I know.
They're in low Earth orbit. There's a little bit of atmosphere up there.
No, it's so easy to shoot.
It's not low Earth. It is low. It's not low orbit. Is it low orbit? No, it's not. They're not in the atmosphere. But no, whatever.
You can hear people shooting out in space, so there has to be some atmosphere up there, right?
No, the
atmosphere is belowhand because there's no... Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff as well. It just felt like... This stuff was shoehorned in, not because it's awesome fictionally, and not because they thought of a good reason for it fictionally, just because it plays awesome. And I can't complain from a gameplay perspective, because I love playing games, damn it, as much as anyone. But from a fiction point of view, it's just, what? No.
I never really paid attention too much to the detail of the Banshee, so I guess you're more attentive to it than I am.
I love space stuff. Space stuff is awesome stuff, and space Banshees are just, nah.
Would you guys like to see a space battle back in the campaign?
Like the saber one from Reach? Hell no. It's a fantastic set piece. Something you could show to E3. You'll knock people's socks off. Everyone say it's awesome. It controls awesomely. It plays really well. And then everyone gets it, buys it, and then you play that mission once and you never play it again because it has zero replay.
I would actually prefer to have a game styled that way. And have it make sense that you're doing that. I've said this a million times. Is there anybody that pays attention to a lot of my posts and rants or tired of hearing it? But I would love to hear play a Rogue Squadron style Halo game.
It has to be a separate game.
No, that's what I'm saying. It would have to be a separate title. I wouldn't care if it was an Xbox Live arcade title.
Or something for Spartan Ops?
That would be something perfect for Spartan Ops, I would think.
The reason why the Saber section doesn't sit well with me is because it doesn't use any of the sandbox. It takes the sandbox and then empties it completely of sand and then throws some spaceships in it. There's no replayability because everything acts out the same way every time you play that level, and there's no different or creative ways to approach any of the space encounters. It's just the same crap over and over and over again, and it gets really boring really fast, and I don't think that's what I want in Halo. I want a sandbox where I can creatively obtain the mission objectives.
Do you think you would have enjoyed a firefight style version of that where you could change the settings and what was, what came in and what came out?
Well, I think that was probably one of the problems with it, is that you're getting all these enemies coming in and it's just wave after wave. For a space battle, you would need to, have a target to some objective, like one of the Covenant carriers. You get there, do something, and then get back out. Like, you fight
How do you express creativity in that? With a typical Halo mission, you have an encounter over this level, and you have different ways of going around the level. You have different weapons you can pick up on the level. You have different enemies you can encounter at different times to pick up different weapons to fight later on enemies. There's all this creativity going on that as a player you can express yourself when you're fighting. And then in space, how can you express yourself differently? You just blow up this banshee, blow up that ship, blow up that ship, and there you go. There's no real expression. There's no space for player freedom there, and I don't think that's fun. Halo is about expressing yourself as a player, and about the creativity of the combat, and about situational stuff, and with a space mission, I don't see any room for that. I don't see any room for traditional Halo feelings, as it were, for a player.
Yeah, I can understand. But see, I like to me, like I said, if it was a if it was a full game, then you could have it where you have, you know, you're flying different types of craft. You're, you know, you could really vary the missions. I don't think it would be something that would fit in the standard titles. I would want it to be something that was specifically space and aeronautical combat.
I'll buy Saber Squadron. I'll buy Saber Squadron the day it comes out. Don't you worry. I love
Rogue Squadron. Like an ODST style independent offshoot,
yeah, like a Halo offshoot. Wars little project. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I'd buy the shit out of that. You know, it sounds fun and refreshing, but I don't see it happening. I really don't see it happening because it's just too awesome. The only things are too good. Reality has a habit of taking them out of the picture, and that's too good. A Rogue Squadron-esque Halo shooter is too awesome to ever happen. Mark my words for it. Something will happen and it'll blow up or something. No, not happening.
Bringing my misery into focus.
Yeah, I played the Rogue Squadron games. I love them, so I know where you're coming from. I know how awesome it is, and tying that into that quality of gameplay and the Halo would be ideal. And I think the Saber controls and Reach are, they're butter. They're just so nice. I think everything about the Saber mission in terms of presentation and controls is awesome. It's eye candy in the hand as well and play as well.
So do you think that there's no place for a little bit of a break like that, though?
Was there a place for those on rail section where you're glued to the Falcon and told to shoot like in a little shooting gallery?
Yeah, that was annoying.
That it was insulting, and then they added insult to insult. They forced it on you twice. Like, come on, that just belongs in Halo. That's lazy level design. It's insulting to the player. I mean, it's really insulting to the player because Halo's about freedom, and here's where they take your freedom. Slap it out of you, strap you to a vehicle and tell you to stay, boy, and if you don't shoot what we tell you to shoot, you're going to die. And doing that on Legendary, I swear I wanted to punch someone. You know, it's just the game just really, really got frustrating, and there was nothing I could do about it other than shoot better. And that was terrible. Terrible, terrible design.
I do agree with that, especially when you start getting on the harder difficulty levels, because you really start... You have to use creativity in your encounters when you get to those higher difficulty levels.
Yeah, exactly.
So if it pigeonholes you into a certain play style and you just don't happen to fit that play style, you're screwed.
And where is the creativity in such a linear piece of crap like that? And an out-of-place gameplay section like that, where is your creativity going? Where is your freedom going? You know, and that's not Halo. Halo is about the ultimate expression of creativity and freedom for a player with guns, alien stuff, magic shooting, Master Chief, bright colors. You know what I mean? It's just the further you move away from that, the less like Halo it becomes.
Yeah. Now, I would have liked to have the Pillar of Autumn still be in orbit and basically have a Warthog run to a Saber and then have like a Saber run up into, you know, out of the atmosphere to dock as kind of like the last run. I think that would have been really neat because there's still...
Are we talking about how Reach stuffs up its own ending with canon? That's a separate podcast.
We knew where you were going, though.
Yeah. I was kind of dressing it up, but...
Because that's a different discussion than what
it is a different discussion.
All different discussion. Of ideas.
But I think it's funny. It's, you know, it could have been solved with gameplay, and
It could have been solved with common sense. Well, it could have been solved with actually trying to make sense, but they decided not to for whatever reasons they did, and we have to live with it. So,
in my mind, the book still takes precedence over the game.
Unfortunately, the games take ultimate precedence. It's like Star Wars films. Lucas balls them up and you have to live with them.
Yeah, but that's all a matter of perspective and opinion.
To do with fact, a game will write everything in Halo. If a game say one thing, that's what we live and die by. There's always going to be the ultimate canon order. I know Frankie says, there is no hierarchy of canon in Halo, and that's kind of silly. But the games come first and foremost.
You kind of have a double whammy there, because not only is it a game over a book, but it's newer.
Yeah, yeah. The more recent stuff usually comes before the past.
Typically, yeah, anything that is a more recent release is going to trump. The only time you might have an argument is a newer released book trumping something in an older released game. You know, there you get a bit of a canceling effect, but a newer released game trumping older book, that's basically no question.
And 343 did try their best as well, subsequently by publishing little updates.
Yes, the
updates, data drops. Trying to just tie some of the bigger loose ends.
I actually really enjoyed those data drops.
They were nice. I liked the intention behind them more than I actually liked them. Because it said that they were willing to acknowledge the problem, and it would have been easier just to ignore the problem and walk away from it. So I really liked the fact that they took the effort to acknowledge the problem. Only the hardcore fans would know about that and care about it and care enough that they cared about it.
Yeah, in my mind, I still have that feeling that the book is precedence over the game, but I guess that's just a matter of opinion for everyone whoever wants to take that stance.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which I think is funny, because that's coming from someone who hasn't read very many of the books.
I knew that was going to come up.
Low blow.
Well, I don't even really mean it as a low blow. I think it's funny because, frankly, I hesitate to say like the books more, but like, I think I get more out of the books.
Oh, definitely.
Than the games. And, but I do understand that I think that the root, what is the root and what is the core of Halo? Well, the core of Halo is the games. And if it's going to be anything, that should take precedence if there's a hierarchy. And I think it's funny because you play the games way more than the books. And so you're thinking that the book should be. Do you think that because the book came first?
That's partly it. Another reason is because they're endorsing the books right now as part of the universe.
Yeah. Well,
they're taking a vested interest, and I mean, if you look at it, it's the official book for Halo franchise.
They re-release the book, and not only did they re-release the book recently with a brand new print, they also did a comic book adaption.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to ask. Did the last edition of the comic come out yet? I don't think so. I'm curious to see where the autumn is.
I don't. Oh, God. I think it's nearly finished, or it is finished. I haven't been following that comic, to be fair.
But yeah, part of it is that the book came first.
But the gameplay of books sucks. It's repetitive, the same actions over and over again. I don't like the guild gameplay of the books.
Yeah. It was interesting to have, capture the flag moments.
You mean capture the bookmark? Where the hell does it go? Where the hell?
What? Nah, I'm confused. Anyways, let's move on to another topic. So Master Chief has been in cryo for 5 years, right?
Ish. Yeah. Like four years, seven. Like it says... They keep repeating those numbers, and I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, they see.
But it's almost display. Five. It's basically 5 years or something along.
Yeah,
those
it was
lines.
On display on the Fort on the Dawn and the Halo campaign thing we were playing through. Yeah. Well, that may not be right. That may not be correct. That's what that number says on that screen and that mission, but it doesn't mean it's 100% right.
So with the Covenant being there. Do we think that the Covenant got there first and the Marines are shortly behind thereafter, or
is there going to be Marines? Why are the Covenant there? He wakes up and he's outside this mysterious planet and there's an armada out there waiting and what's going on?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting I feel like part of that is a little bit of a gameplay initiative too, and I think they even said that is to remind you, it's kind of like a transitional point of here's what Halo has been about, fighting the Covenant, and then transitioning you into here's what it's going to be about.
It's also a lovely homage as well back to the first mission where you wake up out of your hushed casket and you're forced to fight the Covenant aboard a ship. It's exactly the same sort of vibe that they're going for there, so it's a nice little wink to the
that
past
Cairo
10
Station.
Years. Yeah, Halo 1 and Halo 2, really, but more Halo 1, I'd say. They're probably winking towards, but whatever. It's a nice little head nod.
Yeah.
So, will we see? I'm assuming we're going to see Marines of some kind.
Yes, we will definitely see Marines.
So, how does the company get there first if they? I mean, the only thing that comes to mind. Well, here's for me a question:
Where's here? Where is Requiem? Where the hell is Requiem? Why the hell, or why the hell are the Covenant there? Are they there because of us? Are they there because of this weird football planet? What's going on there? You know,
well, I'm wondering, since we were sharing stuff with the elites back when, and the Halo 3 era, if they were able to pick up the beacon that Cortana dropped, and they were just able to get there first before the humans.
So they would send their entire armada to destroy.
Well, we don't know how many Covenant are there.
There's an armada. We're told there's an armada of ships.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think I quite trust that. Like,
how can you not trust their eyes?
That's a ship. That was from Game Informer, wasn't it?
Yeah, an load of ships, and no one's denied there's an load of ships.
Yeah,
I don't remember hearing about it.
I mean,
about this ginormous amount of ships that you guys are talking about.
It's in the Game Informer interview. In the magazine, yeah.
There must have been one of the small details I glanced over.
The entire Covenant fleet, I think, is their exact words.
Yeah, but there's lots. Yeah, that suggests lots of ships anyway, regardless of the specific number, you know what I mean? That's a load of ships. Why is there a load of Covenant ships about when in Glasslands they can barely get their act together? It makes no sense from what we know right now, fictionally, to what Halo 4 is presenting to us from the teaser we know. We cannot connect the dots logically from what we currently have, so we're hoping the Thursday War will give us some more dots to connect up, because right now it doesn't make sense for there to be a Covenant armada at all.
Actually, it says specifically, Cortana says, Covenant aren't outfitted like standard the good news is these Covenant aren't outfitted like standard military.
Just
came across a rogue salvage ship, she suggests.
Yeah, that's before they open the viewport and have a gander outside.
It says they open the viewport, outside Covenant ships swarm like flies, or we might have stumbled into a whole Covenant fleet, Cortana says. That also might, that sounds like she could be being a bit sarcastic as well, like, or the whole damn fleet is here, you know.
Yeah, it's either one ship that got lucky and found us, or there's an entire fleet out there. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, it's not a rogue ship that found us.
It's definitely not
a salvage ship. It's someone has definitely went out to find us, or they've definitely went out to find this mysterious planet and just happened to come across this floating wreckage at the same time. You know what I mean? Have they come for Master Chief, or have they come for the planet? Which one?
I think that's going to be a big part.
And how? If the Forerunner Dawn's being boarded by the wee boarding pods and the wee walk, and they're basically boarding the Forerunner Dawn, how does the Forerunner Dawn then get into Requiem without the Covenant coming along for the ride? Because
maybe Requiem defense systems fire on the Covenant. I mean,
and does it surgically remove all the Covenant boarding parties from the Forerunner Dawn?
It wouldn't necessarily need to. And in all honesty, the Forerunner Dawn might have a couple of ticks attached, you know, as it crashes down. I mean, who knows?
I know, it's kind of weird. Well, like, why would they let the wreckage, like, literally the wreckage of a human ship in and not the Covenant fleet? You know what I mean? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but if you look at kind of how especially the anniversary terminals have played, they specifically talk about the installations targeting and allowing the human ships and identifying them differently than the Covenant ships.
Yeah, but there's a little problem with that. I remember in the Terminals and Anniversary, Guilty Spark, his buddy, opened fire on the ships approaching Installation 04, and he goes, oh, wait, no way, they're identifies them. Oh, wait, they're humans or whatever, and lets them through. Yeah. It doesn't explain why the elites and the Covenant came with them, you know what I mean? It doesn't explain everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe they assumed that, like, we were all buddy-buddy.
Oh, yeah, the ones trying to kill us, shooting us.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, let them through, too. They're probably fine having a wee argument. They'll probably acknowledge it before they get done.
Oh, you!
But one thing I think...
Settle down, children.
if we're going by the assumption that what we've seen here was the first level, and then we have a cutscene, maybe some events happen during that cutscene, because what I was hoping that, just like the original Halo, you have your first mission which sets up expectations. You're fighting the Covenant, the same old enemy, same blah blah blah, in corridors, and it's all grey and all boring. And if you remember in the original Halo, that's what the setup was. Bungie was trying to make you think this is a traditional shooter. And then the second mission happens, you fall down to the Halo, you go outside, the green rolling hills are right in front of you. Aliens are swarming all about, and the whole game just really opens up at that point and blows you away. I'm thinking maybe that would be a lovely setup for Halo 4 as well, as if they set up the expectations, and then bam, second level comes, you're down in Requiem, and you get blown away all over again. That's what I'm hoping.
I'm really excited about, because of the way the planet is structured, how it's this tight shell around the planet, and you really have no real sky. You've got these huge spires coming down, and there's this bright mechanical kind of
but those spires are a prison of some sort. I remember the early descriptions on the artwork was saying, what are these menacing towers and unleashing some ancient evil and stuff? There is a purpose to these towers, and I think of the ancient evil or whatever is encapsulated.
Yeah, but I think that was in the description for Solitary.
Was it?
I'm almost positive.
Solitary, the map, multiplayer, Reach 1. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how it was holding something.
Yeah. Yeah, because one of them is, you know, the one you fight in is, like, broken out of.
yeah. It kind of, yeah. But that could easily be the Flood, you know what I mean? And as far as we know, the Flood aren't returning in an adversarial role in Halo 4.
Yeah, well, Frankie said you don't fight the Flood in Halo 4.
Like I said, it's not returning in an adversarial role. But, I hope... I had this whole rant on my own podcast about this, and I'm not going to repeat it here. I just hope we don't ever see those damn brown, lovely monsters ever again, ever.
I have a feeling that we will end up seeing them again somehow, that they've evolved in, at least in some way, and that it's, you know, it's a different thing to fight and you know, I don't know, maybe more intelligent.
But that leads us to the point that we still don't know what we're fighting on Requiem. We don't know who we're fighting. We don't know why we're fighting.
I have to guess that it is Forerunner related, maybe up to like, you know, Prometheans and maybe you meet the Didact, whether in Halo 4 or later. I mean, it certainly was hinted that way in the 10th Terminal and Anniversary.
But maybe it's the obvious thing.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's going to be something related more to like Sentinels and War Sphinxes and stuff like that. I mean, they really are kind of, even in Glasslands, you know, they talk about a lot of the technology that's there. And that would make it easier, if you think of it from a gameplay perspective, it would make it easier to also incorporate, you know, other vehicles and stuff like that. Like if you can pilot a War Sphinx or something like that.
That sounds silly. That sounds silly.
Super.
I'm piloting a Sphinx. Woohoo!
But these new enemies that we're going to be fighting up against, or this new class of enemies, there's, in my mind, a question of when exactly do you bring that in? Because
Mission 2, we crash land on Requiem. There you go.
You think we should bring it that early?
Why not? Because you don't want to play Covenants for half the game and then finally fight the new enemy halfway through.
Dawn finally crash lands onto this planet somewhere, that the Chief is going to be instantly attacked by this unknown...
Who says he's going to be attacked? He doesn't have to be attacked by them. He could just randomly encounter them.
Yeah.
Before they attack him. You know what I mean? You don't have to go straight into the battle, but obviously you will be going straight into the battle.
They use the term a new class of enemies, so you're going to be fighting them at some point.
Of course, but it doesn't mean necessarily your first contact has to be, hello, my name is Gunfire. I don't know how they're going to handle it.
The whole premise of Halo is it's a first-person shooter, so if we're not fighting the Covenant... Do you think just going to be swarming down right on our tail as we crash land onto this on Requiem?
I have this weird theory, right?
It depends on the Covenant's motives.
Yeah, it depends. The Covenant will definitely be the third player there, the third wheel. See the way the Flood were the third wheel on the original Halo. You were supposed to be fighting the Covenant.
Right now, they're the second wheel. As they're being introduced in the game, they're the second wheel. It's the Chief, and then the Covenant is the main enemy at the start.
I think that's a red herring.
Yeah, it's a bait and switch. They're going to make you think you're fighting the Covenant, and then bam, they go Promethean midgets and stuff. You know what I mean? They're going to throw something else at you during the after they introduce the Covenant again. I think they're just messing with your expectations because they're setting you up to expect the Covenant.
The thing in my mind, though, is that they're going to pull something like they did with Halo 1, where you're fighting the Covenant for the first half of the game.
That's far too long. You don't want to wait that length of time.
That's way too long to be talking about and touting a new class of enemy and have you only fight it for half the game. I don't see that happening. I see it being introduced like at least within the second or at most third mission. What's going to be interesting too is going to be see how many of the Covenant species you actually end up encountering. You know, is it going to be, it'll probably be primarily elites and grunts. Do you see any jackals? I would imagine maybe.
Yes.
I would imagine definitely not brutes. Although there are some subservient brutes still in, serving the elites in Glasslands, but I don't see that.
Another question would be, are these Covenant that find Chief, whether it's a party that just happened to stumble on to where the Chief was, or they actually found the beacon?
No, I can't think that's an accident.
But I'm just leaving the possibility out there.
We're dealing with a lot of time.
But wait, why would the Covenant board the Fort on the Dawn in the first place? If they see a human vessel sitting out there
in the middle of nowhere, they're going to want to know why it's there.
What if they're after Cortana?
Why would they be after Cortana?
Well, they don't even know. They shouldn't even know who or what's on the ship to begin with if it's floating dead.
Yes, they do. First of all, they dropped the beacon. Okay, Cortana.
Is the beacon going to be unencrypted? By the way, here is the greatest warrior the Earth's ever had and the most valuable, important resource. And we're sitting here waiting to be picked up. Thanks. You can call us on 1-800-4-UM-DAWN. Like, you know what I mean? They're hardly going to sit there waiting for it and broadcasting it.
What if it has something to do with Oni's kind of playing back and forth the two opposing sides in the same?
So Oni's going to tell the Covenant how to decrypt our highest level of military encryption, so they will eventually decrypt the Fort Dawn's beacon and then attack Master Chief? Come on.
Frankly, I don't know. I don't put it past Paragonsky.
That's such a silly, silly convoluted way of doing it.
Well, maybe it is. But, again, we're discussing possibilities.
But that's how are you to say, well, they ran, this fleet was going to Requiem, and they just happened to stumble across Master Chief, who just happened to be floating on by at the same time.
Oh, no, I don't think it's random. I don't think it's a happenstance thing.
Why not? Why can't it not be happenstance? Like what was the fleet doing? If the fleet's going to be trying to take the Fort Dawn, why doesn't the fleet, like,
so the Covenant don't still have access to the technology that identifies where Forerunner technology is?
So why don't they just tow the ship or the remains of the ship instead of boarding it? Tow it to a space station or tow it to a planet?
If you look at other sci-fi things, that's kind of standard procedure. You board it, see if there's anything on there, and then you go off.
So why don't they just blast the crap into it then whenever they discover Master Chief's on board?
Well, I don't think that they are necessarily... They could be wanting the... Maybe they're hurting for the resources.
Another possibility would be they see Forward Unto Dawn somewhere written on there, and it's like, oh, there's something on here, if we remember.
Well,
right.
I mean, the Forward Unto Dawn is going to be a very famous ship because of the Arbiter. I mean,
right.
They're going to know that. They're going to know what ship he was on and know that he was on the other half. Everybody knows, who Master Chief is in the Covenant. That's going to be common. Knowledge. Yeah, I was going to say, that's, Forward Unto Demon. So.
But there's just, having the whole fleet there doesn't seem very.
Yeah, but why? Well, I mean,
once they find out that, yes, the Forward Unto Dawn is there, then they might call for the fleet to come, but.
It doesn't explain why the fleet's there. The fleet would be able to be there for another reason. That's what I thought. I think the fleet has to be there for an entirely different reason, and they just happen to find the Master Chief there. Unless there's another very good plausible explanation for it, but there's nothing been...
I can see them happening upon Chief, but not happening upon the entire thing. I can see that. Like, if they're after Requiem, if for some reason they're able to identify Requiem as an entity...
Because maybe they find Requiem, and because they know that the humanity is now out on equal footing with them, they probably think, well, if we don't take this planet, humanity will. So we'll send a fleet to that planet to establish ourselves, the Ruthless Covenant remnant, on this planet before the damn humans.
But do we even know that it's actually a fleet yet?
Well, we know it's a big load of ships. It's a suit.
Yeah, but that could be a small ship. That could be a small ship. They're making a point to say that it's not just a couple salvage ships.
Yeah. Well, you just don't know. We're talking about very granular specifics here. They come up with a very, very specific theories, but we're just blasting out what we're thinking here. And I would say it's just a... Just say it's a fleet. You know what I mean? Until we learn otherwise, I think it's safe to assume it's
a fleet. But that doesn't make sense.
But maybe the fleet is there to take Requiem, you know what I mean? So the humans don't. Maybe it's one of those things where the elites recognize they need to claim as much Forerunner stuff before we get our hands on it, because we'll claim it for ourselves and we'll be able to use it against them.
I wonder if there's some speculation going on the cover of Thursday War, and especially that's what was happening at the end of Blastlands. If humanity launches an attack on
That would be so good.
On
if we just said "fuck you guys, we're your partners."
If we launch an attack on Sang Helios, because remember that book comes out the month before and leads directly into Halo 4. What if that book is about us basically, attacking Sang Helios and the elites pulling back and them taking Requiem as their last chance?
Then what if we are so enamored with our brand new toy with the Infinity, and we're so enamored with our Spartan fours?
What's this button do?
what if honestly we're so enamored with it that we decide we'll stuff it, we're going to just take them out, we take the fight to them and make sure we end the threat of these dangerous aliens before they get time to regroup and kill us again?
So that's the people that we just decided to take allies with because they finally saw the light, we're going to just go ahead and destroy the crap at their homeworld.
We took allies with them because it was convenient.
Yeah. To be fair, we didn't
make them take allies.
So you don't think there's any possibility that we could have made it
and sing some songs?
And think about who's in charge. Do you think the military people in charge really care about the Arbiter's feelings?
Well, all of Glasslands. That's what they're doing. They're trying to create a civil war so that the elites will kill themselves if possible. They are trying to eliminate the Sang Heili threat. They're not real super interested.
Well,
the entire time in having them as allies.
Technically, in Glasslands, they aren't trying to eliminate the elites. They're trying to sow disruption to stop them.
Yeah, well, they're at least just trying to take away the threat, is what I'm saying. You know,
they're trying to stall them. I think they're in Glasslands, they're just trying to stall them from recovering. Because right now, if the elites get back on their feet, we're in danger. So the more...
Honestly, I'd rather fight the Covenant, like all the species, the way they were. Than a strong Sang Heili force, a cohesive Sang Heili force.
But it won't be cohesive because even if they did mobilize their military might again, they need to get all the other cogs of the Covenant to turn to get back up to that full strength, and they'll never get there without the prophets, without the engineers, without the grunts, without the hunters. You know what I mean?
I think that a strictly Sang Heili force, obviously they're in disarray right now. I'm saying at their strength, at their greatest strength.
I'd rather
not fight a strictly Sang Heili force.
I think that fleet might actually represent the entirety of the elite's military.
Yeah.
Come here before. You know, that might be their desperate attempt to survive that fleet. That might be their home fleet, you know what I mean? That might be like what's left of them, even maybe. You never know.
It's the migrant fleet.
I don't want to say that, but yeah. That could be it. Then we don't know the state of the galaxy come Halo 4. We know the state of the galaxy come Glasslands in Halo 3. But it could be an entirely different place come Halo 4.
Yeah.
I guess. I haven't read the book, so I'm still a little behind here. I'm going to get there. Give me a few months and I'll be there.
Don't worry, only a few more books will come out after that, you know?
Yeah, shush.
I'm looking forward to the...
What the kind of a name is Thursday War for a book?
It's from the old naval thing where they...
Yeah,
they
I looked that up. That's still... real. Why would you use Thursday War? I looked up what it was on Wikipedia.
It sounds like something Karen Travis came up with, to be honest. She's really into her military stuff and terminology, so she's really knowledgeable about that kind of thing. Yeah, she's really knowledgeable about that kind of thing, so I imagine she would have a big input on the name of it. But I don't know.
It's a really weird thing to call it. Yeah, I know there's military influences for Halo, but that's still just a weird name to call
it. It's no worse than the Cole Protocol.
But that's specific to Halo.
It gets your mind thinking, because we look it up in Wikipedia. What's a Thursday War? Ooh. How does that tie in? You know what I mean?
Gives
your brain some exercise. And...
No, it didn't for me. Not really.
You did it.
You still did it. You still looked it up and went, ooh. At some point.
Yeah, because I thought it was a stupid thing, so it must have had to be named after something. And even after I saw what it was named after, I was still like, really? You still named it that?
Have you read Glasslands?
No.
There you go. Because if you read Glasslands and you read the title of the next book, your mind would be going, I wonder if it's all connected to this and this and that. And what about that?
All right. Hmm.
And don't forget as well, the trilogy is called the Halo 5 trilogy.
Yeah.
We do have ongoing storylines to continue in the next book. And how will they play into Halo 4 if they will? Like the weapons black market, for example. That's a massive thing where we have these weapons of mass destruction just going about in these black markets with all these different alien races, the former Covenant races, and these scumbag humans trading technology and weapons with each other. What the hell? And then our lost colonies, the people who we kind of forgot because they weren't us, they weren't Earth, they weren't important, and we left them behind. Now they're kind of pissed off that we left them behind to die. Whoops.
Yeah, I absolutely see it being easy for the insurrection to kind of flare back up.
Neo-insurrection. Woo! Yeah. I hope we see it. Oh, I don't think we'll see it because Halo has to be black and white. You have to have your aliens and you have to have your Master Chiefs. So I don't think we're going to see insurrections in the games ever.
Yeah, maybe not in the games.
Not in the games. I would like to see a book about them, though.
Yeah, definitely. I hope. The potential's there now. The potential after Glasslands is greater than it's ever been up to that point to get a proper in-depth look at insurrectionists, at the humanity not being all nice and lovely and peaceful, because we all know the world is a place. We hate each other. We kill each other. We rape and murder each other, you know what I mean? And we're still going to do that in the future. And just because Master Chief is out there saving the galaxy doesn't mean we still aren't being scumbags to each other. Yeah. And I'd like to see that more fleshed out, hopefully. It's not everyone's cup of tea because they might want to read
it. I think that's something that Karen Travis specifically is well-suited to cover.
I don't know. I think she's well-suited to cover anything to do with any military interactions between the grunts and the battlefield and how they interact. I'm not too sure about her expertise anywhere else. Although her story evolutions is feckin' awesome.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Humans and futuristic sci-fi stories just need to figure out how to get along with other species.
can't be Star Trek.
We can't get along with it ourselves. You know, how are we supposed to get along with these elites if we're too busy killing it ourselves? And we shouldn't shy away from that. The Halo should not shy away from the fact that we are scumbags to ourselves. We kill ourselves when we hate each other just as much as we hate other people. We might forget about it whenever we're going to be pushed onto the edge of extinction, because it's kind of important for us not to die as a collective species. But after that threat's over, we're back to killing each other very quickly.
Right.
Agreed.
It's a cruel, cold world. Cold, cruel world. Mother.
Well, and again, that's something that was also expanded on in Origins by Cortana.
Yes.
I mean, she made a point of talking about that. You know, it's always going to be like that.
Because we're people were really crap aliens for these other aliens to encounter. Like, we're like the troublemakers of the galaxy. Everyone gets along with themselves, no problem. Maybe they won't have wars throughout their entire culture, but also we just can't stand each other. We have a million different cultures, and we hate each other more passionately than we hate anything else.
As the quote from Fallout 3, war never changes.
Yeah.
And that's
just humanity.
That's just something that's, it's a play on sci-fi stuff, but there's got to be something somewhere where we can just get along with.
I think it's a
other
joke.
Races at some point. It's
a joke for the Forerunners. They call humanity the Reclaimers when we're the biggest scumbags of the galaxy. Like, everyone must just hate us because we hate them more. We hate ourselves more than we hate other aliens.
The more we find out about Forerunner society, the more we realize, like, oh, maybe we're the perfect ones to take over for those.
But seriously, why didn't they choose the grunts or something like that to overlook everyone? You know, something a bit selfless than us, because we're too busy screwing each other over. They care about anything else. You know, I mean, we can't even look after a single country anywhere in the world right now. Never mind the entire galaxy of other aliens in the future. I don't trust us.
I
just don't.
But you do have to look at the flip side of that, where if they did trust a race like the grunts, they could be passive enough or give in to other races coming in and just taking over and have them submit to their will, and then they're controlled by another race who's basically controlling this technology, even though not directly, but they have an influence on how it's used.
As guardians of the galaxy, chances are we use a halo ring on our neighbors because they're playing loud music or something like that. Like, we are that kind of scumbag. You know, we're going to be the worst guardians of this galaxy ever. The flood hasn't got anything, and just pissed off humans, pissed off themselves.
It's. I mean, I agree with you, but there's still that other side of, well, when push comes to shove, sometimes you have to be a bastard about it. And if they're going to rely on the survival of the universe, maybe they see something in humanity that, yeah, we're complete douches, but we'll get the job done if needed.
Maybe we'll look at Master
Chief.
Maybe
that's the reason why. Yeah,
look at Master Chief, right? He is the best soldier. He's the luckiest son of a bitch ever, right? He saved the galaxy. He saved us. He saved every living thing ever. And the reason why he is what he is, because we kidnapped him as a child, cloned him, killed the clone, brainwashed him, and trained him to be the best human murder machine that we could. And then at the very end of the training, we said, you're not going to kill humans right now because we're kind of too busy to kill humans. Can kill the aliens instead. You know what I mean? Like, he just happened to be there. He happened to be our murder machine that we designed to kill other people. And the aliens just happened to come at the wrong time, so we sicked our dog on something else. Like, the Master Chief shouldn't exist. He only exists because humanity is.
Yeah, I think that's an important that's an important thing about that people forget. Yeah. It's like, we didn't make the Spartan twos to fight the Covenant.
No, we did not. We created them so we could mercilessly kill humans in the most effective way
resistance.
Possible. Yeah, we it's like, well, millions will die if we do this. Well, if we create these super soldiers who will go in there and snap necks with their butt cheeks, like, they'll eliminate the rebellion before it starts. And you know what I mean? It's just this ruthless, evil empire that you're going to see.
The Spartans were still a preemptive strike.
Yeah, they were. They're like, basically, they're like human death stars, basically.
Yeah.
Human death stars. Just lots of human death stars sent out to preemptively kill the rebellions before they start. It's really, really hard. The UNSC is a terrible organization.
So
I feel better about myself. I don't know about you guys.
That I don't know why I haven't ever thought about this before, but Frankie said with everything that's going into and coming up to Halo 4 that they're focusing on the humanity side of the Halo story. But we see Chief being engineered basically or designed to be this killing machine with what we don't see as really much emotion or connection to his human side. So there's almost the question of what are we going to see in Chief that's really going to show off? Yes, he's still.
You don't have to hear Chief's internal monologue of his feelings.
No, you don't.
To connect with him, you can even. It's just maybe just acknowledging he's not a machine. Like a simple act of removing his helmet, or breathing, or sweating, or grunting. You know what I mean? Even different expressions of that will help you connect with him as a person, rather than a machine. I don't think they have to go down the extreme route.
Just because you hear someone like panting or screaming in pain or something, that doesn't necessarily. There's still the whole emotional side of things too, and
but he has this connection with Cortana. You hear it expressed every time they talk to each other and how they interact, how he's so dependent and trusting of her in the situations that he finds himself in. Like I said, you don't need to go overboard in expressing his humanity. It already has the potential to show through, and I think just things like opening doors with your hands and seeing your reflection in the visor, just little small details like that can help flesh him out as a character more than any internal monologue could ever do.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, yeah, I know that's there, but it's just, it's all with Cortana and that's it seems.
Well, who else does he have a deep relationship with? Name one other person who hasn't got a bullet through their head at this point, or isn't
that's true
in some Forerunner factory planet locked up under, you know what I mean? Like, who else does he have to connect with? There's no one that has been on his journey but Cortana. You know what I mean? So it's the problem he's found himself in. I'm sure he'd be drinking beers with the Arbiter if he was still around, but they took his best buddy away from him. So he hasn't even got his best bud.
What about who was training him during the program? Was it Colonel Ackers?
Mendez.
Okay, yeah.
Wasn't he training? Wasn't he on Onyx with that group? And he's now back with UNSC.
Yeah, Mendez and Kurt Ambrose.
He's probably training Spartan Force at this point. Maybe. I don't think they'd waste him. Yeah.
Well, Mendez he was on there with Onyx. I don't know what his date's gonna be. I don't remember.
I can imagine them being happy with the UNSC at this point because they're not kidnapping children and they're not using children anymore in their Spartan projects. So maybe he'd be happier training Spartan Force because they're not children. That's my theory, but yeah. I don't think Mendez never really had any personal relationships with any of the Spartans that he's trained. That's like, I don't think the chief looked up to him as a daddy figure.
He kind of, I just got done reading the first book. It seemed like there was definitely, like, the chief looked up to him and respected him a lot.
Maybe, but maybe that's just like a heroic figure or an authority figure. It's never really been expressed, apart from the book, the first book. There's nothing really there that links the two of them and any of their extended thoughts. Really? Has there been anything? I don't think so.
Referencing what?
Mendez and the Chief. The Chief's never sat back on how we think about Mendez, and Mendez has never had a good think
about the Chief. No, not that I remember.
So there's never really been anything about that, really? So I don't think... I wouldn't really say Mendez is an important figure in the Chief's life in that kind of context, then.
I'll just throw in that name.
I think, if anything, maybe... maybe Johnson...
Well, Johnson's dead.
Yeah, Johnson and the Arbiter were probably the two people that the Chiefs had closest to him in his adventures throughout the games that he probably would consider friends, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, the Chief's always on duty. You don't really have friends when you're on duty.
Well, that is your friend. Or like, different kind of way friend. You really describe it is the people who you're on duty with.
Yeah.
So what's the possibility of having the other Spartans show up in the game?
In what? In the game? 100%. The Infinity shows up in the game. We know that. It's confirmed that the Infinity shows up in the campaign.
No, I mean like
you mean the Spartan 2s?
Yeah, sorry. I should have clarified that.
Oh,
yeah,
No chance. 0000 chance. Yeah, that takes away from Master Chief. In the game's universe, it takes away from the Master Chief being special. In the books, you have all the time in the world to explain who they are, where they come from. In the game, you don't have that opportunity to explain, and it takes away from the mythos. Remember, a lot of people still think Master Chief is the only Spartan left.
He's the last one, yeah.
Yeah, people still think that because the games don't tell you otherwise. And there's no opportunity for the games to explain. And if you're expecting Halo 4 to explain what, 3 or 4 or 5 books worth of backstory for these other Spartans to explain how they're even there in the first place? No chance. I think the Spartan Fours will show up.
It's because kind of sad in my book.
The game already explains the Spartan Fours. The whole Spartan Ops and Infinity, that explains the Spartan Fours in entirety. So they can show up no problem. They're after the Chief, after the Chief's time, you know what I mean? So they can show up no problem. They're fully explained within the game's universe. But they're
The threes.
Yeah, even the threes in terms of reach have been explained, but there cannot be anyone from the Chief's era. There cannot be any more Spartan Twos. Not with the Master Chief staring. It would just take away the focus.
Not to mention, it's not like they're making more.
Yeah, there's a limited number now, and they're dwindling. Is there a final count at this point? I don't.
I mean, it's pretty much just what remains of Blue Team and what happened with Gray at the end of Cold Protocol.
Mm. So, like I said, I don't think, even though the books suggested that the Spartans coming back from Onyx had the opportunity to be integrated with the Spartan Force, I don't see that having any meaningful impact in terms of the appearance of those characters in the game. I just don't think. I think the game will make sure that doesn't happen because it requires far too much of an explanation for a game to handle and deal with.
Hmm.
But like I said, the books have all the time in the world to explain these characters and their situations.
Yeah. I guess thinking about how you worded that makes sense, I guess. It's just that it's sad to see that we do have these other Spartans in the universe, and now the Chief is completely isolated from the people that he was training with. And now they're never going to basically cross paths again just because of the mythos of the game and how Chief is the last Spartan too. To me, that's kind of a...
But that's how the universe. That's how the universe has always been presented.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not a shitty and horrible excuse.
And technically, he's not the last anymore. He has an army of Spartan Forces that's going to join his fight in a couple of months' time. You know what I mean? He already has the new Spartan army in training, literally in training. So he's not going to be the last one anymore. He's going to be the Chief, and they're going to be the other Spartans, the other new Spartans.
I guess.
The books will still tell you the stories of the other ones. You know what I mean? We'll still get... The other Spartans only really existed in the books anyway, in the extended fiction, and they'll continue to exist there. Maybe there'll be opportunities in other games outside of Halo 4, 5, and 6 for them to make an appearance or to be even, you know what I mean, to be introduced to the non-book readers. But I don't see it ever happening with Halo 4, 5, or 6.
I don't see it happening, but it would be very cool.
Oh, it'd be cool. Obviously, it would be awesome.
And it'd be really, really neat to somehow, at some point, maybe in 4, for him to come across, you know, even just Fred.
Fred and Kelly. Explain it. They just couldn't explain it in game. But remember in Glasslands, you find out that in the cutscene, the final cutscene of Halo 3, when they're at Voy for the memorial, apparently there's a handful of Spartans at the memorial, and they're just outside of the camera's point of view in the cutscene.
Yeah.
Like, that is the sort of thing that's probably going to happen, where they might just appear, but you can't see them. You know?
Wait, you didn't see them? Oh.
Oh, the stupid cameraman. But no, I don't think we'll ever physically see them. We might see nods, we might get references.
I definitely think that we're going to get some stuff like that. I mean, they are some Easter egg loving... I mean, like, they... I really... I'm That's Easter one of the things I'm actually kind of Easter really looking eggs forward in Halo. To. What I'm the really hell looking forward to in Halo about? 4 because I think that they are going to litter the mess out of the game with references to the other pieces of the fiction. So, you know, there is going to be something, you know, there's going to be something for the people who read the books and stuff like that to really kind of latch onto and catch onto. Maybe it's something that is visual. Maybe it's something that's like audio transmissions. I mean, even in Reach, they talked about Red Team. You know, they had the audio. What is it? The radio transmissions.
Yeah.
You know, that told a whole, basically a completely different, you know, not a different story like going against, but another story about other Spartans.
Yeah, there's definitely room for their inclusion in a limited form, but in terms of Master Chief,
it could be
Chief,
what the new terminals are.
But in terms of the Master Chief, like high fiving those guys,
probably not.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It would be nice to see, though.
It'd be nice for us because we're fans. We've read, we know. But what about the millions? And I hate to point this out. What about the millions of people who don't know those characters and would need to be told who those characters are? You know what I mean? What about those people?
Yeah, but in all honesty, would it make that big of a difference for them? Because
yes,
I don't know. If they don't, this sounds horrible. If they don't care enough to care enough.
Just because they don't,
they're not going to care.
Just because they don't read books doesn't mean they're farting stupid and they'll just accept anything.
I don't think that they're stupid, but...
Do you think they would question who the hell this extra new Spartan is? Well, come on, they're dumb. If they see a new Spartan that's not explained by the game in any way, they're going to go, who the hell's that?
Yeah, well, who's to say the game doesn't explain it, though?
But the game can't explain it in any sort of logical, coherent fashion, given its constraints. Well, they're going to stick a novel onto the game disc where you read the novel before it's certain.
What if Chief just goes, I thought you were dead? Boom, problem solved.
I thought you were dead. Well, now you're dead now.
It's horrible.
It'd be really funny if he like acted surprised and one of them was like, what, you thought you were the last one?
I think that would just...
What, you're reading your own game boxes?
I would see the waypoint forms blow up.
Yeah, I think that would destroy the integrity. And the whole mythos of the previous games, because come on, you know what the previous games did build on the mythos of Master Chief being the last one, you know what I mean? I know the extended fiction has gone a long way to dispelling and outright ruining that notion.
I always thought of it as he really was the last hope. You know?
Yeah, he is the last hope, but it makes sense in a certain contextualized or dressed up way. But for a lot of people who don't read books, he really is the last Spartan. And it's hard to introduce that fact that he really isn't the last Spartan to all those millions of game players without one hell of a lengthy explanation.
But they're pushing the books and all the stuff that's in between Halo 3 and Halo 4 out to people. They're trying to make it evidence that, yes, there's this other part of the Halo universe that's out there.
Those millions of people, those millions of players will never read those books. Those are just rewards for the people that do. But the majority, the silent majority of people who never play multiplayer and never read the books just won't know. And I think that you can't ignore those people. You can't put something in a game that will frustrate those people. You just can't.
But do you think that another character being in there would be that frustrating?
Another character? No. Another Spartan? Yes. A Spartan's not another character to anyone. A Spartan, in the context of Halo, is a very, very vitally important person.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
You can't just randomly insert Spartan and people equals happy, you know what I mean? It has to be very delicately handled.
I guess.
Yeah. What about
It's just hard to think of from the standpoint of knowing all this information already.
That's Reach, and the whole reason he was the last Spartan, quote unquote, was because of Reach. So.
Yeah.
Well, who was
I don't know who that is.
Everything that's slipping from the first book that I just got done reading. Who was the Spartan that got basically
Nicole
left? he floated out in deep space when they were trying to board the station to get rid of the data crystal.
It was Kurt, I think.
No, it wasn't Kurt. I don't think it was.
It wasn't? Because didn't they go and snag him? That's how they got him to train the Onyx Spartans.
No. Well, this is from the first book. They said they asked him to do a sweep for a transponder, but they didn't have any pingbacks on the missing Spartan, so they never found him.
I got the book here. I'm looking.
If I can find it.
Because they go back to that, if I'm not mistaken, in Ghost of Onyx.
Oh, maybe, I mean, maybe they address it there. I mean, maybe they did. Maybe it gets addressed later.
Because Kurt basically is off the grid at that point, and that's why they changed his name. They gave him Kurt Ambrose.
James. That's who it was. James. Yeah.
I thought Kurt was the one that got...
Unless Kurt's name was James, but yeah, no. James.
That is a different one, but...
Yeah. So they never found him. Anyways, that was a tangent, sorry. Well, I take that back. This whole podcast has been tangent after tangent.
He went missing during a mission, Kurt did.
So he died in space. It's assumed he died. That's it?
Right.
So why would you think he's still alive if he's assumed dead?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was a bad tangent.
Because he was pulling off and he's probably very dead and nicely cold and refrigerated.
Anyways. Yeah, I guess.
After, Kurt, he went on the extravehicular, the EVA mission to construction platform 966A to investigate the ruptured the Shaw Fujikawa engine. And then his T-Pack's thruster pack malfunctioned. His thruster pack, the thruster packs that you see in the trailer that have always been there. Sorry. sent him spinning away into deep space. He was listed as MIA and presumed dead. However, Kurt was recovered by Oni, which had manufactured the whole mission to allow Ackerson to recruit the Spartan with new orders to train the next generation of Spartans.
But is this some kind of implication that what James was secretly recruited by Oni to train one-armed Spartans or something somewhere else? Like what?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, the way you're describing it, that's why I said Kurt. Like, did James also? Now I gotta look him up.
No, James dead. He died.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure James is like toast.
Well, not toast. Popsicle. Popsicle, frozen meat, dead slab. Very.
It said his thruster pack got stuck with a needle and it exploded. And he was blasted off of the.
James was killed by. He got his arm blown off by a hunter.
He was killed by space. Space killed him.
Space killed him.
I'm being serious. Space killed him.
I don't know. I don't remember that many details of the book to recall.
I don't think he was killed on page. You don't see him gasp his final breath and then...
No, you don't.
Left behind.
Okay, so both James and Kurt got tossed into space. Kurt got rescued.
Yes, and it's presumed James didn't. But if in 10 years' time Frankie has an itch he wants to scratch, he can bring back James if he wanted to.
And James wears EOD.
And he has one arm. I think he has one arm.
Was he the guy with one arm? That guy's arm melted off?
Yeah, yeah, he did, yeah. Right. One arm. I think he had one arm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, sorry for the massive tangent, guys.
Of course. I was like, man, the way you're describing it is just like Kurt. So I pretty much both.
Well, I just got done reading the book, so I was like, I can't be that crazy, can I? I'm not an AI. I can't go rampant. Or maybe I can.
No, you'd have to be a smart AI.
Oh, what are you implying there?
You're not an AI?
I'm glad it's that, not the other one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, I think we've talked enough about Halo 4 campaign for the night. I don't think unless there's something that you're dying to bring up.
I'm good.
Either one of you two.
I'm dying. I'm
fine. I'm absolutely fine.
I think we've talked enough for the night. So thank you guys for tuning into the show. This concludes our 3 episodes for this week that we did. Next week we'll talk about the submissions that you guys have sent in. I know we have 4 emails. I haven't checked the voicemails yet, but we will get to those on our next podcast, which will be next week. We didn't have much come out on the bulletin, so there's not too much to mention there. I think all there was that was of importance was that some of the stuff that's going to be for the Forward Unto Dawn live action TV series type deal going on, and then the grunts. That's pretty much all the Halo 4 news that we got there. So nothing substantial. Unless the graphics change for the grunt is something huge in your book, which to me, it's not that big.
Yeah.
All right. So make sure you guys check out our website. It's podtacular.com as always. And while you're there, go ahead and check out the forums as well. The beta forums are still up, and I'll be making some more changes this weekend. So hopefully you will get a new visual feel on the beta forums, and they'll be pushed out hopefully sooner. The schedule's going to be bumped up on my book, or it's going to take higher priority because we've been getting a lot of spammers recently. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but we've gotten attention of a lot of spam botters, and we get about 20 of them just like register every other day for some unknown reason. So that's going
to
be
spam bots need love too.
You should that give their own subsection.
Not that. Well, that's an entertaining idea. I'm not going to entertain it.
Oh, that's not very entertaining then.
No. You can call our listener voicemail, which is 206-339-6937, and leave a message regarding any of the stuff that we've talked over the last week, or anything that you have regarding tales that you have during gameplay in Halo Reach, or maybe you have a custom map that you want to talk about, although right now the only way to get to your map would be through Halo Reach in your gamertag. But if you still want to share it, go ahead and leave us a voicemail, or you can send us an email at submissions@podtacular.com, or you can go to the homepage and use the green button there. We've also started our little video series. We're going to start testing out the production of doing little video shows every week or whenever we feel like doing them. I know some of you guys have been requesting that we do that kind of thing and look into producing videos on a regular basis. So the first one's out. Check out our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/podtacktv. And go ahead, comment over there. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like about it, what you would want to see differently about it. And give me some tips on what you want to see and share with your friends. Let them know that we're starting this up and have them come by and give us some criticisms and what they would like to see differently about it too. Or if it's perfect, you can say it's perfect, but I doubt it's going to be perfect because no one's perfect. So that's all the advertising stuff I have. I want to thank Grim Brother One and Slightly Live for being on and being a whole lot more knowledgeable than me at the Halo lore.
Anytime.
Yeah. Anytime, dude.
I know they make for...
Read more books, people.
Damn right.
I'm getting there.
You're working on it.
I'm working on it.